driving you home every weekday afternoon. This is 105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Now, a couple of years ago, when I was still doing Sunday Breakfast, I spoke to our next guest and we were talking about the film that he was working on at the time. And I said at the end of the interview something along the lines of, do get in touch, let us know how you get on. And a couple of years later, he's back. So we welcome again Oscar Forshaw Swift to Cambridge 105.
Hello.
And also he's brought with him Benjamin Abbott as well, who's also been working on the film. Hello to you, Benjamin, too. So, progress report then. I guess we should do a little potted history and remind people what it was all about. So the film itself, what's it called?
The film's called Through the Lens. It's a sort of action thriller, sort of set a few years in the future, and it's about a internet in which is sort of heavily policed and restricted. Mm. And in this world, there's a brother looking for his missing parents with a sister.
Right. Okay. And you describe the movie as being a micro budget as opposed to low budget.
Yeah, well, I think micro budget or zero budget fits the description quite nicely. It's basically was made for £14,000 in the end, and was shot over 2 months in the summer that we came in 2012. And since then, it's basically been in the edit, and I've been working on it with Ben, and he's been doing the soundtrack and the sound design for the film. And we finished the film at the end of last year, so sort of December, January.
So in the production or post-production phase, it kind of took 18 months, a little bit less?
Yeah, the post-production took a long time. It took a lot longer than we thought it was
going to. What was the reason for that? Was that budgetary or were there other factors
way? I think budget is part of it. I think when you have very little money, you have to sort of do it all yourself or do a lot of it yourself. And basically it was down to myself and Ben here to basically cut and produce the entire post-production of the film.
Because when you came in last time, I seem to remember you telling me that you had actors sleeping on the floor, is that right?
We did, yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of them sort of sleeping all over the place. I was here with Charlie and Lewis, who were the main actors in the film, and they were basically in the front room and the back room, and then we had a sound man in the office, and then we had a big tent in the garden with two people in there as well. So it was all hands on deck, I suppose, when it came to the actual production of the film.
And quite a bit of the footage was shot in and around Cambridge, if I remember correctly,
yeah,
as well.
Pretty much all of it was shot in Cambridge or around Cambridge. So it was, it's all been produced here with local talent.
That's really good. Benjamin, when did you get involved in all of this?
Gosh, how long ago was it now? A year and a half?
Yeah.
Okay. So you came in effectively once the acting, all the shooting had been completed, and your role was to, I guess, stitching together the audio side of things.
Yeah, the film had been shot, and editing had just started. So I could come in right when the film was starting to be like properly put together, and we sort of worked together on fitting the music to the cut of the film, which I think was really beneficial because we managed to have some scenes where the actual the music and the visuals, hopefully, they're kind of intertwined. It's not sort of two separate things.
And is this original music or has
all the original compositions with kind of composed and produced by myself? And then we sort of worked on the sound together and all that.
So what sort of soundtrack is it? What sort of instrumentation has been used? I guess if it's sci-fi,
digital. Mm. Yeah, it's maybe I'd say a melancholic sort of digital, futuristic soundtrack, quite dark, slightly dreamlike, maybe.
Did you? You said you've done the composing. Did you do the playing as well, or did you bring in some other musicians for that?
I did pretty much all of it.
So how do you work? Really? Do you play multi-instruments, or do you do this all from a... I've seen some people like Mirror Signal, one of the artists who's been in our unsigned chart. He just turns up on stage and he brings his laptop with him, and away he goes. That's all he needs.
Well, yeah, I do. I play a bit of guitar and keyboard and things like that, but a lot of this soundtrack was done sort of sat at the computer for hours. You start with the sound and then you modify it and change it into something else, and then you take that sound and you turn it into something else, and then you layer it and it kind of builds up that way.
And do you, I guess if you're in a play, there's, and Emma will know this from her kind of acting stuff, you can sometimes change a line perhaps to sort of that. Do you do that as well with the music? Or do you pretty much set on what it was going to be when you sat down to add it to the film itself?
I think there was quite a lot of back and forth. Really, there were some tracks that how they are in the finished product is very different from how the first demo that I brought to Oscar was. I think sometimes you kind of start working on the music, and then when you put it against the visuals, new ideas come to you, or things that you thought were going to work don't work, and then you alter it and sort of tailor it to fit the visual style as well as possible.
What other things have you done? Is this something you've taken on before? Is this perhaps the biggest project you've done to date?
Yeah, I think it's definitely the biggest project I've done. I didn't really work on soundtracks per se before this. I have worked on film to some degree, and I've worked with a lot of vocalists producing for them, and done various other styles of music for the last sort of 10 years. But yeah, this was my first full feature soundtrack.
Okay, so Oscar, what happens next? I gather you've been picked up by a distributor.
We have, yeah. That's something which... So we finished the film. The cut was finished at the sort of... basically the beginning of this year. And then I sort of set about trying to get the film distributed, which I think is the biggest challenge for anything that's made on a micro budget. Because even if it does get made, most things get lost in the cutting room. But if they don't and they get made, then it's the question of like, well, I've made the film and how is anyone going to see this? And most distributors sort of, they're not really interested unless there's someone in it to be able to sell it for them. So one of the things that we took a long time, but basically we managed to get a distribution deal. And that was all signed off on in the end of April. So that's going ahead, and that's for North America. So the film will be coming out there in this winter.
So that begs the question, then, how does one go to see the film? Well, because exactly. If it's got distribution in North America,
so far it
might be an expensive cinema ticket.
Yeah, so far there's no distribution deal for England, but we're still very happy that we've managed to get a distribution deal for the film.
No, absolutely.
It's not off the cards as well, the UK side of things. I mean, yeah. It's just not confirmed.
Yeah, I mean, if everything goes ahead and goes well with these guys in America, then basically it's one of those things where you're not a safe bet until someone's sort of shown their faith in you. So that's if it all goes well with them, then potentially.
So I was going to say, what is the next stage of the distribution deal? I'm not quite sure how these things work. Do they have to then offer it to a cinema chain to see if they're interested?
This is what I'm talking with them at the moment. I'm in sort of regular contact with them, and they're kind of they're very, very excited about the film. They've got some big plans for it, which is great. And at the moment, it's just I'm waiting to see exactly what it is they're going to pull off with it, because I think, you know, the things that they're suggesting to me are incredibly exciting, so we'll see.
And if it works, presumably you the micro budget gets paid off, does it, at some point, with the possibility for other projects?
That's the plan. I mean, obviously I want to be able to show. One of the things that I was very keen on to begin with was that if the film made money, then the people that were involved in it would be able to get something from it. I don't imagine the film's going to make millions, but if there is money involved, then I think that the fairest thing to do is to be able to give people a little bit back to thanks for your help over this long period of time. Show that their work is appreciated.
Yeah, and there is a chance to see the film locally over the next few days.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the premiere tomorrow evening, so that's an opportunity there.
And where's it taking place?
The screening is taking place at Anglia Ruskin University, and it's at 6:30. And if anyone wants to come along, then they just should let me know and send me an email, preferably to info@sparkinthedarkproductions.com.
info@sparkinthedarkproductions.com.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Well, I hope that all goes very, very well for you.
Yes.
Tomorrow. What's the next project for you both?
Well, I'm working. We've since working on Through the Lens. We've started writing our our next film, which I think is going to be, we're very, very excited about.
In the sci-fi genre again?
Not quite, no.
Ooh.
It's a kind of, how would you put it?
I guess it's a near future setting again. So I guess in a way you could link that to sci-fi, but I think it's more of a, what would you call it, a horror drama?
Yeah, it's a sort of post-apocalyptic drama, half in English, half in Danish, some Norwegian. It's a very...
Hang on. We're not get away with that. Why the Scandi languages? Or just, yeah. You know, we'll get the pullovers as well.
One of the things that we were very keen on was that we spent quite a lot of time in Denmark and Scandinavia, and we really liked it, and we got to know the culture. And one of the things that we realised is that there's quite a Scandinavian cinema is becoming more of a popular thing over here as well. So
they love a lot of our kind of film and television over there as well.
Yeah,
and there's a really interesting cultural link being built up.
It's quite interesting because they've taken, you know, stuff on the BBC out there for years, but course the famous the Killing, which was. Well, actually, I think it's bought by the BBC over here and sat on the shelf for about 12 months, I think, before they actually showed it. And then the rest of they say is history.
Yeah, I think we think there's a lot of exciting things to be done.
Yeah.
Sort of cross cultures.
Yeah, because you're going to have a scenario where there's two main characters. One of them is English and the other one is Norwegian. It's going to all be set in Norway and Denmark. So it's going to be a very, very interesting film. It's kind of a sort of post-apocalyptic world. We're very excited about that.
I need to know more about that. But this time, actually, make it shorter than 2 years before you come back to see us next time.
These things take a long time. I mean, we've got we're working on the pilot at the moment, which is going to be a short version, I suppose, a sort of independent short film, but set in the same world with the same characters and lots of the same themes. And we're going to be shooting that this summer. And hitting up the festivals this coming year and next year in the hope that we can get the funds together to
get a bit of interest in the project.
To get the interest and get things moving on raising the money for the feature film which we've written, which is in the same sort of vein. So,
okay, well, best of luck, guys. So Through the Lens is going to be shown tomorrow night at Anglia Ruskin at 6:30. That email address again?
info@sparkinthedarkproductions.com.
Okay, guys, thank you very much indeed. That's Oscar Forshaw Swift and Benjamin Abbott. Thanks very much indeed.
Thanks.
Thank you.
See, it's times like this, you know, here that we have the microphones which are colour coded. That's largely for the benefit of Toby from Bums on Seats, who's colour blind. And then we also have headphones, but we never really know which headphone is which, and we kind of take a bit of a guess at it usually based on sort of how chunky the cables are. So we've just been through all of that business. 17 minutes past 6 o'clock in a smile from Texas, Cambridge 105, community radio in your city, and it's movie time.
It certainly is.
Sky and Hattie are here.
We're starting with Fault in Our Stars, a moving, witty and life-affirming adaptation of John Green's best-selling novel about two teenagers who fall in love at a cancer support group.
Is it there?
It's there.
Mm-hmm. Can I have an egg?
Hazel Grace? Egg, please.
All right, here we go.
You got this.
Come on.
I didn't hear anything.
It's all right. A little more to your left.
Wait, throw to my left or should I aim over?
Aim left.
Okay.
Lefter. Yes!
Yes!
What?
Now I know exactly where to line
you
it up. That was so exhilarating!
Stop. Hello? Are you Monica's mother?
I am.
Hello, ma'am. Your daughter, she's done a great injustice, so we've come here seeking revenge. See, we may not look like much, but between the three of us, we have 5 legs, 4 eyes, and 2.5 working pairs of lungs, but we also have 2 dozen eggs, so if I were you, I would go back inside.
Fault in Our Stars, what do you make of all of that?
Oh my gosh. I am going to start with giving you a rundown of the synopsis so you can know a little bit of what to expect, first of all. This is based around 16-year-old Hazel Grace Lancaster, played by Shailene Woodley, who was diagnosed with cancer 3 years ago. She carries an oxygen tank everywhere and prefers not to sugarcoat the reality of her situation. Her concerned mother encourages her to attend a cancer support group and make friends, where she makes an instant connection with the funny and charming Augustus Waters, played by Ansel Elgort, who has a prosthetic leg and has been in remission for 18 months. Clear-eyed Hazel fears that this cannot end well, but is unable to stop herself falling for Gus. The adaptation that millions of fans have been waiting for, including me, this is a funny, honest and heartbreaking tearjerker. It's difficult to know how to review this because it's a very difficult story. I love the book, but it's something that I will probably never read again because it is beautiful and brutal all at the same time. And so is the film. It keeps... I sound really emotional and I'm not. You know what? I didn't even cry at this. That's the kind of heart of stone I have.
But I'm sure many did.
Oh my gosh, so many people did. I felt so sorry for the girl three rows behind us who was just openly sobbing from about 20 minutes into the film. It is unusual because it's a love story, but it's not about love. I think a lot of it's had quite mixed reviews, and I think a lot of people are going in to come out feeling like, you know, life affirming.
Are people expecting a feel good movie with this and they're not getting it?
And you know what? It's not supposed to be. You know, she says at one point, you know, there's or the sort of gist of several conversations is that there is pain. But, you know, pain and suffering happen in the world and you just have to suck it up.
This is kind of like when budget airlines first came along and people turned up expecting to be allocated a seat. It's that kind of scenario, isn't it?
Kind of, but, you know, on a slightly more emotional scale. Shailene Woodley gives a stunning performance as Hazel. She's not the most likeable character as well. She says right at the beginning, you know, she's honest, she doesn't sugarcoat things, and because of that she can be quite harsh with her home truths. She doesn't want to let herself fall in love. She calls herself a grenade, you know, she's going to blow up one day and, you know, not literally, but and that's going to affect everybody around her, and she doesn't want that to happen, which is why she shuts herself off and pulls herself away from people. But not sure.
There's no door locking up, don't worry about that.
You know, it's stated at the beginning and that carries for the whole film, you know. It's brilliant. It's really hard to describe it, and you know, obviously I don't want to spoil
it. Is it faithful to the book? That's the other, key question here.
Absolutely. I mean, John Green, the author, was involved through every step of the film. He was on set almost every day, so, you know, readers can have faith that any changes that were made, any scenes that were missing or put in, were with his consent. Much the same as... oh my gosh,
Perks
of Being a Wallflower, which was directed by the author as well. I mean, and Ansel Elgort is absolutely perfect. He is Augustus Waters, and that makes things harder through the film as well. And he's so full of life and energy, and it's exactly how it comes across in the book. It is a superb adaptation. It is go and see this film.
Okay.
Please. I really think you should. But take tissues. I think I was the only person to leave the screen with dry eyes. The two guys who were sat in front of us who walked in all swagger at the beginning, like, oh, yeah, this film, it's going to be all right. And, I mean, they were head in their hands crying as well about halfway
in. I guess I'm grateful I didn't go along because I probably would have been exactly the same.
You would. You cry at films, don't you, Sky?
Yes.
Brave.
Oh, dear.
So it is emotional, but it is... it's beautiful and it's brutal.
Check it out.
Yes. When's it on?
check local
listings for detail. Brilliant.
Don't worry, I've got mine covered. It's fine.
Okay, well, thank you very much to Heartless Hattie Simpson. Well, we'll come back and do two more in just a while. 6:30, we're in the middle of film and theatre, part of our regular Thursday night hour of entertainment. Right, where are we going next, Sky?
Got a couple of sort of comedies for the family, starting off with Chef. Chef goes back to his roots and reconnects with his family in this delicious foodie comedy from Iron Man director John Favreau.
Dad?
Yeah?
You got 1,653 followers since last night.
Oh, is that good?
It's amazing.
Oh, good. What does it mean?
It means that 1,653 people are reading your Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was like texting.
Did you post anything since last night?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I just sent a private message to somebody.
To who?
To that a-hole food critic.
You could only send private messages to people who are following you. I think you might have posted that publicly.
No, he wrote something nasty about me, and then I hit reply, and it let me send a message to him.
Dad, replies are public. Everybody can read them. And it looks like he retweeted it to all his 123,845 followers. And he wrote back.
What did he say?
I don't think I should read it.
Just, can you read it to me, please? Read the reply.
At Chef Carl Casper, I would rather have you sit on my face after a brisk walk on a warm day than suffer through that f***ing lava cake again.
He wrote that to me?
I think we've got about 4,000 followers on Twitter. Should I do something like that?
Do something like that.
Bump them up a bit. At Cambridge 105.
So this is about Chef Carl Casper. He's bullied by his restaurant's owner for churning out safe food. A stinging review by a respected critic prompts this divorced dad and frustrated kitchen genius to go ballistic and get himself fired. Carl's wealthy ex-wife Inez steps in to help with a plane ticket to Miami while her first husband donates a beat-up old taco truck. So he refurbishes the vehicle and hits the road, bonding with his 11-year-old son and rediscovering his zest for exquisite culinary creations. So Jon Favreau is writer, director and star in this film, returning to some of his Swingers-era indie origins with a road trip comedy. So, it includes cameos from Robert Downey Jr. and also Scarlett Johansson, who he's obviously directed in the Iron Man and whatnot Marvel films. So this is kind of, I think he's had his, like, big budget action films, and now he's sort of returning to, yeah, sort of his roots and discovering, you know, how quite pleased with this film actually, and come out quite hungry afterwards. So yes, if you want to catch it tonight, it's on at 7:45 at Cineworld, or at View at 7:50. And it's on tomorrow, Cineworld, on Friday, 1:00, 2:45. 6:30 and 9:15, and Chef is also at View on Friday, 12:20, 2:50, 5:30, 8:00, and 11:10, and it's worth a watch.
Okay, we've got one more to do, which we might as well to do before we move to theatre after the travel, and this is Mrs. Brown, Da Movie.
Da Movie, yes. Brendan O'Carroll's comic creation defends her market stall from a nasty developer into hilarious big screen debut.
Her family threatened. Her livelihood stolen. But this summer, she's ready for the mother of all battles.
No! This is the movie. I'm an independent trader. I'm loving it. Tom, if you're not buying, feck off.
Let's see which stall will be the next one to go.
They won't be happy till they close us all down.
But you won't take me without a fight.
There's nothing to worry about.
God's sake, sometimes you're as useless as a knitted condom.
This Mrs. Brown, she has a mouth on her.
Fresh fruit and vegetables!
You better take this serious.
You'll sell your stall, you stupid bitch!
Anything else, love?
I have a plan.
Does it involve blind ninjas?
Go. Maybe.
So what's the plot again?
Yes, her feisty matriarch Agnes Brown runs a fruit and vegetable stall in Dublin's historic Moore Street Market. It's been in her family for generations and she hopes eventually to pass on to her daughter, Kathy. She then receives a vast tax bill. Maria and Rory embark on a foolhardy plan to raise the cash by swimming the channel. Meanwhile, our potty-mouthed heroine learns that she's not the only one to have her livelihood and heritage threatened. Dastardly developer wants to bulldoze the entire market. Now Agnes must take on the Irish establishment with a little help from Buster Brady's troop of blind training ninjas, an alcoholic solicitor and a barrister with Tourette's syndrome. This is a Rory spin-off from Brendan O'Carroll's much-loved BAFTA TV comedy sensation, and it's filmed in authentic Dublin locations.
Generally speaking, it seems to be the same plot as the Muppet movie when they go and take over the old theatre.
It's a good point, actually. Yes. So
again,
they struggle with plots for adapting TV comedies into films, and a bit like with Harry Hill and Keith Lemon, it's kind of like. They're good as, like, short sketch shows, but do they translate into a two-hour film? It just, they have to find ways of making everything link up into some sort of narrative.
Now, I kind of mentioned this before, but what tends to happen with them is that they start off and have about 5 or 10 minutes, which is a little bit like the TV show. Mm. Then they sometimes branch out, and so they're nothing like the TV show, and then they're not popular because they're not like the TV show.
It can split in two ways. I mean, sometimes you certainly need that in order to fit the format, I think. But it doesn't always come off. But I think if people are open-minded about it, they might be pleasantly surprised. Mm. And, you know, it's still the same writing, it's still the same cast. So it's not like too much has changed in that regard.
And relatively quickly as well, because the series is quite fresh. It's only been with us for 2 or 3 years, I think.
It's on the rise, so hopefully this will do well. The trailer looks fairly funny. So you can catch it tomorrow at Cineworld. Oh, loads of showings. It's first showings at 10:45, and they've got a late one at 11:15 at night. Viewer also got showings from 1 o'clock onwards till 10:50 at night. So, plenty to see.
OK, we'll come back then with some theatre in a short while from now. 6:45, and it's film and theatre. I've turned you down, and now I can't hear myself. I don't know what's happened there. Is that better? That's better for me. I haven't done anything to you, have I?
No, pretty much the same volume.
Okay,
for me.
That's fine.
In my earphones.
So, ADC.
No,
not ADC. Arts Theatre, so I wasn't paying attention. Do apologise.
So, starting at Cambridge Arts Theatre this week is Another Country by Julian Mitchell, running from Monday the 23rd to Saturday the 28th of June and direct from the West End. Another Country follows a company of public schoolboys through a summer term in the early 1930s, where Bennett and Jude are both outsiders, one coming to terms with his sexuality, the other already a committed Marxist. But the establishment has traditional ways of dealing with rebels, and when a scandal rocks the school, the young men must confront their beliefs and make choices which will have a momentous impact on their lives and on the future of their country. So this play balances subtle wit and thought-provoking drama in a fictionalised account of the youth of such people as the spy Guy Burgess and the communist John Cornford, who died in the Spanish Civil War. So should be good. Good for politics, good for drama.
Local connection.
Yes, absolutely. And so it's playing until this Saturday, which I just said and then promptly forgot, running at 7:45 and then matinees at 2:30 on Saturday and Thursday. Tickets from £15 to £30. Runs at approximately 2 hours and 20, including the interval. And tickets are available from the Cambridge Arts Theatre website. It's cambridgeartstheatre.co.uk or their box office on 01223 503 333. So, that should be good. It's had good reviews so far. I will hopefully go and check that out.
You can see it before the end of the week.
I plan to.
Good. What we'd like to hear. Right, where are we going to next?
Coming up around Cambridge, we're over to the ADC, because, you know, it's not a review show without mentioning the ADC. for next week's show, The Odyssey, an epic musical epic. It's playing on Friday the 4th and Saturday the 5th of July. Audacious Productions presents, which is from Comberton Village College. It's a furiously frenetic romp through Homer's classic tale of love, betrayal, revenge and bravery. Having successfully defeated the pesky Trojans, all Odysseus wants to do is return home, but the capricious gods have other ideas, and soon our hero and his hapless crew find themselves beset by a horde of vengeful islanders, a ravenous man-eating cyclops, a troop of seductive sirens, and an old mystic who tells long stories. Very, very long stories. Will Odysseus overcome the many trials and tribulations he faces? Will he manage to appease the gods and inspire his dejected sailors? Will he ever get back home to Ithaca and his beloved wife Penelope? Find out at the ADC Theatre on Friday the 4th and Saturday the 5th of July at 7:45. Tickets are £10 and £8, available from adctheatre.com or the box office.
And the number for the box office is
300085. Cambridge.
I was getting very concerned
about reaching your peak of like
how high you'd be by the end of all of that. Dangerous.
It is very exciting. Sounds good.
Sounds epic.
It sounds good.
The Odyssey, an epic musical epic. Check okay. it out. Also around Cambridge, which I mentioned last week and will mention again this week, Rider Spoke, starting at Cambridge Junction. The streets may be familiar, but you've given yourself up to the pleasure of being lost. It sounds a bit weird, the whole concept, but it is really, really interesting. I was a little dubious, and then I watched the trailer and was completely won over.
Have you had a go yet?
Or I have not
had a go. Wait for it to be set up first.
I will hopefully be having a go when it plays from Thursday the 3rd to Sunday the 6th of July.
Ah, very sneaky.
From 7 p.m. onwards. Runtime, well, they say 15 minutes, but you can sort of take as long as you like. Equipped with a bike and a handheld computer mounted on the handlebars, you'll ride out into the streets of the city of Cambridge. Aided by your computer and the woman in your single earpiece, you will find a hiding place, a spot previously undiscovered by any other player, and get asked a question. For a minute or two, alone in an out-of-the-way spot, you reflect on your life and record the answer. Then cycle on and find the hiding places of others. Listen to their answers in the places that mean most to them around Cambridge. This is created by Blast Theory, who focus on games and new communication technologies in creating new social spaces within theatre. It's sold out in previous shows at the Barbican in London and around the world as well, so it's really exciting to have.
Presumably
it
has to be specially developed for whichever town it turns up in. They have to do a version of it which is relevant to the locality.
Yes, yeah, and I mean, most of the stories come from the people who go on this adventure as well. So, you know, if you're going to see it on the Saturday, you'll be hearing the stories from people who've done it on the Thursday and Friday as well. So it's a really community-based piece. So it's going to be so interesting.
Kerry is going along to the press preview, I think, which is on the Wednesday.
Yeah. So this listen up for her story.
If you hear the Scottish voice, if you're stuck somewhere, then that might be Kerry.
So it's almost like a treasure hunt around Cambridge, looking for these different stories.
It's very exciting.
And voices. It's a very unusual piece, and it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. Tickets are £13 and £9 concessions. You can get those from Cambridge Junction at junction.co.uk or the box office on 01223 511 511.
Excellente.
Yes, it's going to be great for such a cycle-based city as Cambridge is. Get on your bike.
Work, yeah. And yeah. Just in time for the Tour de France.
Yes.
Which is apparently happening the following Monday.
On Monday,
July
yes.
the 7th.
Check out for apparently. Road closures.
So it'd be awesome if you could get the riders to do the route just beforehand and then listen to their stories. Or something.
That would be very interesting. I think they're probably quite focused on their cycling, though.
Well away.
But if you have the time and are not taking part in the Tour de France, then come on
come
down to Cambridge Junction.
I'm decidedly unfit at the moment, which is largely why I've asked Kerry to go along.
I'm a bit worried. I have such a terrible sense of balance, so I'm just going to get on a bike and fall off it. Yeah. But I'll record a story on the way. So
they must have,
that.
Like, kids' bikes from a stabiliser.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks very much.
How do you trust people to give the bikes back? This is like, you know, 37 bicycles are stolen in Cambridge every month.
This has been raised, but we trust our audience.
Well, they shouldn't
Cambridge
leave it
Junction
anywhere, should
trust
they?
Their audience. Guess who I work for? Oh my gosh.
That's why she's no longer favourable towards the ADC.
My loyalty is to Cambridge Theatre.
Yes, indeed. Right, thank you both very much. See you next week.
See you next week.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.